Welcome to the Hinckley Institute of Politics. My name is Arya Irani, and I will be the host for today's Hinckley Forum. The Hinckley Institute was established in 1965 through the generous bequests of the Noble Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to teaching students respect for practical politics and the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid internships to students of all majors here locally in Washington, D.C., and in 35 countries around the globe. The Hinckley Institute also offers classes, the nation's only campaign management minor, week-long experiences to Washington, D.C., and over $70,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door or to visit our website at www.hinckley.utah.edu to get more information. The title of today's forum is Encouraging Seed Beds of Creativity. Today's guest will be introduced by Rosemary Mahera, a recipient of the Fulbright Award to Indonesia and a board member of the Utah chapter of the Fulbright Association.
Thank you, Arya, and thank you all for coming to this talk this afternoon. So my name is Rosemary Mahera, and I am a Fulbright alumna and a member of the Utah Fulbright chapter here. And each year, the Utah Fulbright chapter invites an international Fulbright scholar or professional to present a talk that enriches us or offers us a looking glass into the ways and means of seeing different perspectives on issues from politics to education, often issues that affect cultural attitudes toward the well-being of our citizens. Enya McHugh from Dublin, Ireland, is a 2012-13 visiting Fulbright scholar at the Lincoln Center Institute in New York. Since 2005, she has been the director of the ARC, a cultural center for children in Dublin. She is committed to fostering creativity and art in primary school-aged children. Time magazine listed a visit to the ARC as one of the top things to do in Dublin. Her love of children's cultural work began in 1990 when she became involved with Northern Ireland's film festival, Cinemagic, and going on to direct the award-winning festival. In 1998, she directed the second World Summit on Television for Children in London. Enya McHugh's talk, Encouraging Seedbeds of Creativity, will focus on the ARC and an impactful project sponsored by the ARC called ARC Link. Please join me in welcoming Enya McHugh.
It's really lovely to be here, and I just want to say something at the beginning about the Fulbright International Scholarship Program, because it's why I'm here. And the program was set up by Senator Fulbright in 1946, and it was after the two world wars, and it was very much about the understanding of peoples. And speaking about the International Scholarship Programme, Senator Fulbright said, it is a modest programme with an immodest aim, the achievement in international affairs of a regime more civilised, rational and human than the empty system of power of the past. And I came to Utah because of that statement, because I believe in those values. And I think it's really important to share perspectives and to have a conversation. So I'm here to put out some seed thoughts from an Irish perspective and an international perspective. And I am mindful that this too is a creative process. So I invite you to relax and to receive some thoughts which you will winnow out for yourself. What is meaningful for you? Maybe nothing is meaningful for you. And that's okay, but maybe there's something here that might be of value and thoughtful for you. So my talk is called Encouraging the Seedbeds of Creativity. And we have a poet president in Ireland since November 2011 called President Michael D. Higgins. And the phrase is taken from his inaugural speech. And he said, I believe that when we encourage the seedbed of creativity in our communities and ensure that each child and adult has the opportunity for creative expression, we also lay the groundwork for sustainable employment in creative industries and enrich our social, cultural, and economic development. So before I say start, and I'm going to, as Rosemary has said, I'm going to give two models, and I'm going to give some thoughts about creativity as well. I'm going to start with, well, what is creativity? And if you haven't already read, I would invite you to read Ken Robinson's book, Out of Our Minds, Learning to Be Creative, because it's a very interesting, very readable book. And he defines creativity as it's not a single aspect of intelligence, but a dynamic process that draws on many different aspects of a person's experience. It's not a purely intellectual process, it's enriched by other capacities, by feelings, intuition, by playful imagination. It is not a skill or a standalone intellectual process. It is more akin to an aptitude whose presence or absence has profound implications for personal well-being and for society as a whole. And what is art? In 2007, we have the National Cultural Institutions in Ireland made a submission to government, and they had an interesting statement about how they would broadly define art. And they said, art is a fundamental human enterprise, the making of meaning, individual and collective, through representation. In making art, we make ourselves. In understanding art, we understand ourselves. So, in other words, the arts does not have an exclusive monopoly on creativity. We did a major project at the ARC this summer, which was an art-science project, and we worked with 30 scientists and artists together, and it was totally obvious that the creativity of science is very evident. But that there's something about the transformative power of the arts, I would say, that can unlock creativity in a particularly powerful, life-enhancing way. And the arts are embedded in what it is to be deeply human. So I am going to talk about two projects. I'm going to put forward two projects as living examples of seedbeds of creativity. And the first is the organisation that I direct, which is the ARC, a cultural centre for children in Dublin. And the ARC is, I'm going to do a presentation on the ARC and on the project called ArcLink. The ARC is founded on a principle. Parties shall respect and promote the right of the child to participate fully in cultural and artistic life and shall encourage the provision of appropriate and equal opportunities for cultural, artistic, recreational and leisure activity. So that is from the UN Convention of the Rights of the Child, which the Irish government has signed up to. So that is a very radical statement. It means that if you are 5 years old or 7 years old or 12 years old, you have a right. A right. We are coming at it from a rights basis. Same right as if you're 25, 35, 45, 55. But there's a very big difference around children, which was recognised by the ARC in its original idea, because children have no money. And that makes a big difference in life of their own. And children have no vote. So they are totally dependent on adults to deliver this right. So the idea was, would we have a cultural centre for children in Ireland that would be Europe's first cultural centre for children, a building specifically designed to deliver the cultural rights. And this is the ARC in City Centre Dublin. And you will see here our audience. The very first opening cultural programme of the ARC was called Two by Two, because children were coming two by two to the ARC. And the ARC, the idea of the ARC came about in the 1990s. There was a cultural regeneration plan for Dublin, and there was a decision to have a whole area which was going to be called a cultural quarter. And the thought was, could Dublin put forward something completely unique? It was a building designed to be a cultural centre for children. So this is the original facade. It is built on what was originally a Presbyterian meeting house. But everything else inside is completely new and contemporary. It was called the Ark for three reasons. First was to acknowledge the religious and the Presbyterian origin of the site. The second, and it is amazing how important this is the symbolic. The voyage, the sense of safety and sanctuary, that children would have a place where they would be there, they would be warm and safe and welcome. And the third was a word that a child could easily say and could easily write. So those were the original ideas. So I'm going to show you some images of the building because it is so interesting. And I say this, I have directed the organisation for 7 years and I still think it's a beautiful concept and living organisation. We have a theatre which was built to be a child's first experience of theatre. Everything is keeping in mind, entering into a dark space is scary. And this was, it could be dance, theatre, music, concerts. The theatre holds 135. It has been described as a pint-sized globe. It has also been described as the most exquisite small theatre in Ireland. Everything is of technical excellence. Lighting, sound, design, and you see all the lovely seating, and it's in the round. So anybody, it's a challenge for artists to play at the Ark. You have to be top of your game to play because it's an unforgiving space. This is the back, the theatre, very clever. This is the back of the Ark. It has an open-air stage, so it can be like an amphitheatre. It can play to 600 on the square. It can work in reverse. So it means that we can, the cultural quarter, there are other cultural buildings around us, we can do concerts, films, summer presentations, a whole range of activities. This is the first floor. It's called the Long Room. And there was a very imaginative thought in the 1990s, and that was that children's lives would be changing so rapidly, you couldn't necessarily know what would children's cultural lives be 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road. So the design was that every floor would be flexible. How it was designed, it was open, because it wasn't necessarily sure. And in this case, there are... Sometimes it's used as exhibitions, sometimes it's used for meetings, it's used for a range of different undertakings. And everywhere in the building is collaborative art between children and artists. We now own so much art that we have a store. We have also been given an awful lot of art by professional artists, as well as all the child artist work that we have done over 16 years. This is the gallery. We have a gallery floor, which is primarily was envisaged as a visual arts gallery. But again, every wall moves back and is flexible. So it can be an open space, small. We have a production team and we run absolutely as a production house. We have dressing rooms, stores, we have a carpentry workshop. Everything is about high quality art for children. The top floor is the workshop, and the workshop is a big working space with its own roof garden. And the idea was that you would come to the top of the building and children would have experiences of the work of art. So there are sinks, it's a working practice area where children can come and work with artists. So our mission, the Ark creates original cultural programmes for children in a venue designed specifically for them. Children aged 2 to 12 can experience performances, exhibitions and workshops with leading Irish and international artists. We aim to inspire the imaginations of all children, irrespective of ability or background, through our child-centred approach, partnerships, professional development of teachers and artists, outreach, touring and research. we seek to inspire the highest standards of arts for children in Ireland and abroad. So we have always had this iconic status. We are, in many ways, an empty shell. That's a wonderful challenge, because we are commissioning original programmes for children. So we are a different experience every single visit. And programmes would last maybe 6 to 8 weeks. This is an image from a programme which was a visual art programme called Mandscape. And it was, we own a lot of art. We have been given a lot of art. That we have also commissioned a lot of art. We work with professional artists, and we pay professional artists who want to work with children, who are interested in the audience of children, and who are committed. And so we will be having, for example, a programme like this might have an exhibition. It will have also then different elements. So there will be a schools programme, and we have a family weekend programme. Schools, we would maybe offer 2 events a day. Schools can come in Dublin. You can either, we come by bus. We work for schools outside Dublin. We're a national institution. Families, we are open during programmes, Saturdays and Sundays. We're open all summer, Easter holidays. These are very big undertakings for Christmas. We have all kinds of programmes on for our audience. We have a methodology which we have been developing over 16 years. So we put a huge emphasis on the active cultural citizenship of children. We are anti-passivity. We feel that children have to be active cultural agents, and we want to encourage that. So we have all kinds of ways of working. It's a very different experience coming to the ARC than, for example, maybe being in a classroom. And that's deliberately so. So we structured in ways where children work alongside all kinds of artists. And I'll explain about that in a minute. And we put an emphasis on individual work as well as collaborative work. We're trying to shore up the capacity, which many artists are modelling, that there is an inner compass which is different from what is externally imposed or expected of you. We work in all art forms. There was a very avant-garde a definition of culture from the beginning. So we do music, literature, dance, new media, film, theatre, and it's so broad. We are constantly changing and constantly, increasingly doing cross-collaborative work. So we would no longer have maybe necessarily, like, for example, the summer I've just described was an art science project. That would be increasingly what we would be doing, because actually definitions of art forms are merging in contemporary art. Our new initiative, we are going to put, you have to make choices in life. You cannot do everything, and you have to decide, particularly with decreasing budgets, which I will talk about in a moment, where are you going to make a difference? And we have decided that over the next 5 years, we're going to do a particular emphasis on music. And we are very lacking in Ireland. We have wonderful venues, but we don't have original music work for children. So we are about to, we've entered into a big programme. We're going to commission musicians. We're doing a training programme with musicians. And we're also going to tour and commission new productions. Music, concerts, every type of music. Trad, popular, traditional music, popular, classical. We are very keen as well to have holistic experiences, that there's no one way in the arts or in the creative life. Theatre, we do high quality productions. This is a shot from a programme we've just done, which is very successful, called The Girl Who Forgot to Sing Badly. And it's going to be at the New Vic Theatre in New York in May. So we commission, we're a commissioning house. I want to say a few words about money. Money matters in life and in the arts. Because the ARC was so unusual, it was argued from the very beginning that you could not have a rights-based organisation for children without recognising that the state had to take the weight of responsibility for the funding because of the vulnerability of the audience. We were not like other audiences, and we were never going to have ticket income from children. That was impossible, and it was counter the ethos of the whole idea. So from the outset, and more or less to this day, with some ebb and flow, 2/3 of the money comes from public funding and ticket income. Ticket income is a very small line for us. And then the rest of the money comes from trusts and foundations. We have a totally different culture in Ireland. We have very few trusts and foundations. In all of Ireland, there are 22 trusts. And there are very few that actually want to do work with children and the arts. So we are very public funding exposed, which is hard when there's a European crisis and a worldwide crisis around public funding. And we can talk about that. But that is the essential model of the ARC. And roughly, it has kept in that way. So we are very funded by the Department of Education and the Arts Council. Every child matters. We are based on social and cultural inclusion. So we have concession prices for anybody who's in what we would call a designated disadvantaged school, anybody who's unemployed seeking a job, anybody who's a single parent, parenting alone, you can come to the ARC for a reduced price. A full price at the ARC for anything is €10. That's the absolute maximum that anyone would pay. But most people, it might be €4.50, €5. We deliberately choose and work to keep prices affordable. We work, are part of our remit, all children. We work with children with special needs. We've just done a very innovative project with children on the autistic spectrum disorder. We commissioned a project to work specifically with them, physical disabilities, all disabilities, and we have an access fund. We work with teachers. We have a professional development training programme called the Creative Self. It's for anyone who's working as a teacher or a trainee teacher. You can be in a college of education, and you can come on our courses. They all art forms again, and the idea is to shore up teachers' own creativity as well as look at curricular application. So we are very mindful that it's a contradiction in terms to be asking teachers to encourage a child's creativity or access to the art without their own being encouraged and nurtured. This is proving to be very successful. Many of these courses are on a Saturday. We have a waiting list. Partnerships. We work with many partners, both within Ireland and internationally. We have a professional development programme for artists and practitioners. We have worked with actors who want to work with children. We've run a training course on that. We work with musicians, as I have described. We have done dance. For dancers, we exist to be cutting edge, and if we're not cutting edge, we're not doing our job. We have a very good internship program. Anyone who's in a program about interested in the arts or child development, you can apply to the ARC, and we run a very good system, I believe. And then we also do outreach, touring, and research. So it's a hugely holistic organisation. We're not big. We work with by American standards, we would be regarded as very small. Our budget is about €1 million, so we're very small. We're a very small working team, but we commission and we contract, and we're canny, as we say in Ireland, in order to achieve what we want. I want to talk now about a particular project, because after the first opening years of the ARC was very successful. It's a beautiful concept, much loved and very alive. But all organisations have to enter a period of reflection and for different times. So the ARC started a period of consultation about its work after the few opening years. It opened in 1995. And part of its consultation was including people in prison. And the ARC met with a group of men, or fathers, in prison, and they said, "You're not for us. You're for posh kids. We wouldn't go to you. Our children are not for your place, and you're not for us." So it was very challenging for the ARC, because our ethos is about social and cultural inclusion. And they were really saying to us, if you are serious about that, you've got to get out and about. And you've got to go to where children are. All children. If you mean that, you've got to do something. And some of the suggestions was, why not do a project in an area called Fatima Mansions? And Fatima Mansions was a part of Dublin that was undergoing a whole social regeneration programme. These flats, it was a small community that had had a lot of challenges. Some of the people were from this area. The crime rate was higher than the national average, higher single parenting, higher health problems. So it was an area of challenge with a great social regeneration board and a community that were working hard to have a better future. And so people said, well, actually, if you're serious about it, would you consider a project outside the ARC and in a community-based project? And this doesn't happen often, but the stars came into alignment. And the idea was, would the ARC look at a community-based, arts-led, child-focused experiment? Would it actually have an opportunity to look at what difference does access to the ARC make to a group of children? And funders, two funders came along, Atlantic Philanthropies, which is from an Irish-American philanthropist, Chuck Feeney, and the Irish Youth Foundation. And they said, we will come in behind you. And the idea was, would 100 children be in a programme over a period of years, and they would be tracked by an independent evaluator? What difference would it make to these children's lives to have access to the arts in their own community? And in order for there to be a control group, there were children who were not in the project, because in order to have some kind of control. So it was agreed that we would start another project called ArcLink. And that mission was, as citizens, the children of Fatima Mansions will have the opportunity to engage with child-centred, high-quality cultural experiences that nurture their creativity, enrich their lives, and help shape the future of their community. So this was a very, very innovative project, because the ARC at that stage had not worked outside its own building, and it was now working in a community. The original idea was 3 years. It actually, and I will explain that, became longer than that. But I just want to, there were some key components of this project. Children would choose to attend. If you didn't want to come, you didn't come. And that was an absolutely critical element. It was going to be arts-led. It was going to be high quality. We were not, child development was not the primary aim. We were about artistic development and looking at where that relates to personal development. We were looking at literacy around art forms. We were going to have trips to cultural institutions and other venues to break and broaden experience. And the arts was going to be a link between communities and school. When the project started, the external evaluator went. There was a parent-teacher meeting. There were 22 parents in a particular class. Two turned up at the parent-teacher meeting. So the thought was, could the arts be the bridge? And that the programme would work up from the ground with the community, with Fatima Groups United. So I'm just going to move on, and we're going to see. So basically, what started was, and a lot of creative projects, as I'm sure you know, you just start. Sometimes you just have to start somewhere. You don't have it all thought through. It's an experiment. It's a cutting edge, and you just begin. So it began in a church, in a room. We said, let's try it. Children were going to be 7 to 12, and they were going to have an after-school programme. It started, I think it was originally going to be 2 afternoons a week. I'll explain how it all changed. And so these children, it was a choice. And what the ARC was doing was, we were putting in artists. Originally, it was going to be primarily visual arts. And there were going to be access to materials in this room, and it was you turned up. First projects were about the area was going through this regeneration plan, and they were having a festival, and they were taking the image of the butterfly as a symbol of regeneration. So some of the children were beginning to work on artworks that could be seen in community events and were going to be a part of community events. Food. very quickly, what was becoming evident was that the children were hungry. They couldn't settle to work unless they actually had something to eat. And it was also creating a field of warmth and welcome. So something that was very important was welcoming hot chocolate. Every time you came to ArcLink, you got hot chocolate. And then children settled into the work. And there was that celebratory being about and about in the community as well. It was beginning to be visible. The younger children were starting to queue up and bang on the door. They wanted to be let in. They didn't want to be let out. And very soon it was realised as well that it wasn't the project had to change and it had to have another stream. And that stream was going to be for 4 to 7. It was all the little brothers and sisters of the older children that would have to be let in. And over time, then, an artistic approach was beginning to evolve. Children to be at ease in a creative arts space. Get children used to experimenting, quality art materials. Encourage visual awareness, texture, colour, terminology, skills and language. Enhancing artistic development as a parallel developmental phase. No emphasis on producing an artwork. The value is in being there, having the time to experiment. Allow children to fail and succeed by doing or not doing. Encourage a willingness to have a go and promote the capacity for artistic development of a project over time, seeing a project through from beginning to end. So, and I'll give an example. At the beginning, very, very difficult. It was very difficult to have all the relationships. We had never worked on a project of this depth and in this way, trying to find the artists that would work and flourish in this environment. Taking the last point, often frustration of the children, working at the door and regularly destroying their own work. Tearing, I hate it, can't do it, it's no good, frustrated. And the artists would be modelling that they would keep going, because sometimes they were working on their own work as well as with the children. And the children were fascinated. Why would you keep working at something that was so difficult and so hard? The artists were modelling the importance of mastery, focus, discipline for its own sake. That some things in life you are not doing because of the exterior. There is the internal satisfaction and there is internal challenge. Concentration. Children were beginning to work on projects and by choice. So the same children that were struggling were regularly turning up to ArcLink. And ArcLink began then to double its hours because there was such a demand and such a need. Out and about. It was going into Dublin, going to the zoo. If they were doing a project, they did a whole season on animals, seeing animals, never been to the zoo or going to the cultural institutions, opening the world. And eventually, there was a turning point in the project. Dublin City Council allocated a flat to ArcLink. So now we had our own home. It was one of those flats that we've seen, but there was a studio every afternoon. And now it was becoming not just visual arts, it was music. We were beginning to add other art forms in recognition that the holistic development needed that opportunity, and the different ages as well flourished with different art forms. Music, rapping, composition, a rapper. We had a great 14-year-old Charisma. Fantastic rap. She was the support act to a big concert in Dublin. And there was a whole range of opportunities. And then the older ones were wanting to get involved. So the 12 to 14 were now wanting to get in ArcLink as well. And of course, they wanted something different and needed something different as well. The recognition that different ages require different stimuli and respond to different stimuli. So what was started was the ArcLink Film Club. And the ArcLink Film Club was where the young people were learning everything to do with filmmaking. And on Saturday mornings, there was the film club. And I want to just now just show you a little clip of a film that the ArcLink Film Club made. And I want you just to keep in mind. So who's on the camera? It's a young person. Who's doing the interviews? It's a young person. And what are they documenting? They're documenting their own community in a tremendous moment of change. So I just want to explain two things. I'm going to show 2 minutes of this film. I'm going to say a little something about it. So first of all, what was happening was the flats that we saw at the beginning, the plan was that they were all going to be knocked down and new houses were going to be built. But for these children, that was their home. And that was their community, was all being literally knocked down. So the children were choosing to document the world around them. And the second thing I just want to say is because I'm going to explain what they're saying a bit because it can be hard to hear. So I'm just going to show a short bit, start off with the talking about what they like about Fatima and what do they not like about Fatima. And they're talking about going up to their friends and what they see when they go up to their friends. This boy in the tree is talking about art. Some of the words I just want the children to speak for themselves. Then they're talking about their houses, where they've lost their houses, and how that feels. And then at the end, they're talking about the two friends. Are they sisters or soulmates? In a way, the words matter, but what matters more is the sense that this was the children documenting their own world around them. So we'll show a little clip from ArcLink. Okay, thank you.
I like the way there's art and there's some projects and all when you get to do stuff.
And I like the idea of the art and the camera club that help out with some of the kids that don't have anything to do. And watching that live with Fatima.
My friend Jody is on the top end at me, and then when we're going to her house, we always see people taking jokes.
If you had a magic wand or something. What would change?
All the shout and all the drinking and the jokes and all the lots of cars laughing.
Well, there it is. We heard it from Patricia.
We need to change something.
So that's a clip from On the Block, and I want to thank RTE, the broadcaster, and Sheila de Courcy, because for this talk, they reformatted into the American format. so that I would be able to show a clip. That documentary has won awards all over the world. It was 25 minutes of the children. It's fabulous. It's just fabulous. Their vibrancy, their portrait of their lives. And the broadcaster RTE came alongside. But how rare for children to be communicating their world and their experience through art. I'm just going to speed it up because I would like to create some chance for a conversation as well about some of the bigger, if any, questions. But what was going on at the same time? One-to-one contact. A commitment to experiment, the right to fail. That is very important in the creative process. The freedom to fail. A mixture of thinking, talking and action. The availability of quality materials. Promoting children in decision-making processes. Encouragement for children to find their own artistic solutions. There's several examples in the evaluation of where artists allowed the children to find out for themselves what would or wouldn't work. And sometimes the children absolutely knew for themselves the best. Commitment and discipline as an internal dynamic rather than an external imposition. And then mentoring. So there was always the sense of, no matter where you were in ArtLink, there was somebody younger than you that you could help out. In that time of turmoil, work was developing. There was an incredible vibrancy of work. And it was almost, it was striking, it was almost as if the children were expressing something, no matter what the circumstances were around them. Because this was a tremendous moment of change and very, very traumatic. And the work was becoming more sophisticated. So maybe now if there was a community event, the expression of a hat at a community festival or many other artefacts that the children were working on were very different. The project culminated in all floors of the ARC given over to an exhibition, a city centre exhibition, which was opened by our president, then Mary McAleese. The pride of the children, bringing the president around to, and for their parents, that they had a whole city centre exhibition, thousands of people, every floor in the ARC was given over to the work of these children, beautifully presented, beautifully curated. And there was the hat floor, because they had done so many hats. There was the animals, they had worked on a whole sequence of work about animals. There was the nature floor. In sections, there was all kinds of different techniques that were being explored. So at the end of the project, what did the evaluator say? The project originally was supposed to be 3 years and it was extended to 6. And I think it's really important. If the project had closed in the original idea of the 3 years, it would have been deemed a failure because it was so difficult and there were so many challenges. But the funders stayed with it and thought this is a very interesting opportunity and process. So I'm going to end now what the children's feedback was. Just a few quotes. I'm so much more happy this year. I'm not the worst in the world. I'm quite good at art. I may be an artist when I grow up. Another one. I started coming when I was 6. I like making, that should be the hats of the kids, and I like painting. My work is different now because I'm older. And I know more about it since I've started. We'd be lost without ArtLink in the community. We'd have nothing to do otherwise. And a younger one. I can draw a cat. In fact, I'm very good and can draw anything. What did the teachers say? And I just chose one quote out of many quotes. Generally, I can't was seen as a common child reaction to being asked to do something more challenging in school. This was especially seen in mathematics and Irish language teaching. Now those children from the ArtLink project who might not have done so would try. I can't was not used. What the teachers felt had changed was that the children felt that trying is all right, whereas the year before, their attitude to trying was completely negative. What did the parents say? Children love going to ArtLink. There were many interviews with the parents about that, and they several times over they talked about the happiness of the children coming home and talking and talking and talking about what they were doing. And the onus that the parents put on happiness. Children were happy, building confidence. And they, what was very important was this was not just at home but at school, and the teachers were telling them, because now there was much more connection, because there were many more opportunities for meetings, because there were many more events. Children were more thoughtful and relaxed. Children have learned to encourage each other. Children's behaviour is better. Now you can give paper at home on a rainy day and the children will be engrossed. Children's manual skills are better. The work is very practical. The children make beautiful things. There was a tremendous admiration of the parents. All the parents came to the opening by the president of this exhibition. It was a marvellous night. The awe of the parents of their own children. There was a wonderful, I remember, interview with a parent and talking about her life was cleaning. All of her life was going to be cleaning. She had never had any opportunities, but her children were having a different opportunity. And so there was a tremendous sense of achievement, removing the barriers across the estate about, because parents were meeting more. These children were interconnecting in a more free-flowing way. What did the community say? One of the most exciting features of life in the flats over the past decade has been how the arts have naturally evolved and become a central means by which the community has chosen to explore, describe and celebrate its particular identity, culture and experience of change and regeneration. Artists, children are not afraid of art, not afraid of expressing themselves. Their capacity for aesthetic judgment, concentration, analytical skills. I love this one, compassion. Compassion is very, very important in the creative process. It's very vulnerable making, fearful, risk-taking. Compassion matters. Choice making. The skill of looking at each other. I love that one as well. The skill of looking at each other. And greater sense of responsibility. Resilience. The core of any artist. Resilience. This evaluator, tracking, 6 years. And I'm going to close, but problem solving, language development, everything. Improved health. These children were less sick than their peers. Openness, expressing complex ideas, the ability to see something through, ability to help others. It's a cool. They'd gone from a place that was very difficult to being a cool place to live. That is some transition. And finally, the final conclusion, ArtLink and Fatima has proven that well-resourced arts activities make a difference to children's lives, even in a most difficult environment and potentially traumatic transition. It proves the benefit to society of such investment. It shows to each of us as individuals that we have a great deal of creativity in us that perhaps through earlier neglect has not been allowed to flourish. So for those of you who are involved in the arts, I'm going to open up a space now for a conversation. I just want to say one last thing, because I know some of you are maybe interested in the arts going forward in life. I think it's really important, resilience, tenacity, those are very important words. The arts are tough. Arts are tough. You're constantly often having to argue, stand for, raise money for, believe in, you have to believe in something for yourself. But I would suggest it is a hugely valuable path to follow and to be interested in life. And I would end with something that I said yesterday, that Mahatma Gandhi said, which I often think about, that whatever you do, it will be insignificant, but it is very important that you do it. Thank you.
So now we will devote the rest of the time to questions. We have 10 minutes, so we probably have time for a couple questions. Please speak directly and clearly into the microphone. Say your name and a little bit about yourself before your question. So questions. If the floor is open, I'd love to take the opportunity to ask the first question. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My name is Arya Rani. I'm an operations management major at the business school.
Yes.
I was wondering if you've seen other countries try to approach you to get help on implementing a a program like ARC in their own country, in their own community?
Yeah, that's a good question. We would have maybe 35 international delegations a year coming to see the ARC and to look at our models and practice because we're so unique. At the same time, it's very important not to be narcissistic. There are some amazing practices in other world countries. And I don't know if you know, but for example, in Norway, there is a stunning project, in my view, called the Cultural Rucksack. And the Cultural Rucksack is funded by the profits of the lottery. And every child in Norway is guaranteed 5 free cultural experiences a year across different art forms, dance, music, literature. It's an extraordinary scheme. So I think there's a two-way flow, is what I'm saying. And I think it's really important as well to include the flaws. These projects, they are not perfect. They are not. And so have we incorporated all of the learning? And I think a wonderful thing happened, which was always envisaged anyway, in that the ARC made itself redundant. So the project is now wholly community-owned and funded by Atlantic Philanthropies. We do not... That project is led by that community because that community has got marvellous skill sets and commitment and belief to the arts. We exit and go somewhere else. We have to look at where we can make a difference. But we try. We are very committed to research. I am here. You are important, as Jesse Jackson would say. You are important. I've come here to share, but I'm not. I hope I'm not narcissistic about it. It's the work is flawed, but is it valuable? I would say yes.
We have time for one more question. All right, you have a question?
Hi, my name is Nicole Goodrich, and I'm a sophomore here at the U. What is the best way to donate to your program? Is there a website?
There is. That's a lovely question. What a lovely question. Our website is ark.ie, and you will see there is a donation strand to it. And, we have a scheme called Archangels, and we deliberately like that idea of people who are guiding angels to the work. One of the very interesting things about the ARC is that we will not accept money if it involves in any way the commercial exploitation of children. So we have to be very careful. We have a relationship of trust with children, and we will not accept commercial sponsorship where product placement is a part of the deal. We will walk away. So we are very dependent on archangels.
Another question?
My name is Susan Sandak. I'm actually working in the Utah Cultural Alliance community with Repertory Dance Theater. Measuring outcome and success is more and more demanded of us from funding sources. Mm. And I'm curious, when you said you tracked some of these students over a three-year period.
Yes.
Other than interview and feedback, tell us some of the other ways you were able to do that and still respect their privacy.
Yeah, very good. Very, very important question. And I think that's, as well, exactly as you were saying, the macro picture of the demands now to evaluate, but how do you evaluate in sensitive? In this case, one of the very rare opportunities was an independent evaluator was appointed with the money. That was one of the factors of it. And the evaluation is on the ARC's website. And in the evaluation, there is reference to how difficult actually it was. And so what he was doing, originally it was to be 3 years, and eventually it was 6. So what he was doing was meeting regularly with all the different constituents, as well as looking at the artwork, looking at the project development. He was trying to have a holistic picture. Now, I think there's more work to be done. You'll see what he was doing, for example, in some cases, was he was asking word associations, for example, with the children. He was asking them to value what they like most in their lives and things like that, you know. And so, for example, what you see different is from the beginning to the end is the rating of school. School is going up. And those are factors, but it is difficult. I mean, I think it's work in progress. I think this was the weakness. I think this is one of the weaknesses, is that could you actually look at this and say that there were holes in it? Probably. But it was, at the time, it was very rare in Ireland to be able to have an independent evaluator. And so if we were doing it now, would we do it differently? Probably we would. But it's a tremendous art, the art of evaluation. When these projects, as you say, are very sensitive, and I think it's the challenge of the evaluation process not cutting across the creative process, which can sometimes happen, but it's we have not since this project had the money for that level of independent evaluation. We have all projects, all programs that the ARC undertakes have what we call a 360 degrees evaluation. So every single program that we do always has an evaluation, and you're looking at audience, all the audience feedback, artist feedback, you know, you're looking at that. But it's ourselves looking at ourselves. So you can always say, well, you would, wouldn't you? You know, you will zone out the slightly criticisms, perhaps, and you will psychologically tend to go towards the more positive. So we've tried to look at ways of improving that. We've tried to be more rigorous in how we are evaluating. I think it's a tremendous question, and I think it's a cutting edge in Ireland, the pressure, and I don't know about here, but nowadays, to justify. I think what was wonderful about ArcLink was not feeling obliged to fake what the project was about. The project was about the arts and standing for that. It wasn't pretending to be something that it wasn't. And I think that's often also the challenge of evaluation, that you know what the funders' buzzwords are, and it's very delicate.
Thank you so much. I think we're out of time. So please, everyone, join me in thanking Inya McHugh for an excellent and informative forum.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. No problem, exactly.
Yeah, that way, if anyone has a question, they can just come right over. Great, excellent. This was really tight. I loved it.
Better. Mm. Oh, better, excellent. Better, better.